Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler, and I am here with my amazing co-host, Tigra. Sound off.
Hello everybody, I'm here having una tequila.
Ms. Rocky.
Hola, hola, buenas noches.
And El Bojique.
Hi fam, ¿cómo estamos, familia?
Welcome to our first stop in our Latin Babbler World Tour. Today, we will be showcasing the amazing country of Mexico. And we are going to give you some fun facts, talk food, and some great locations to visit. The entire show is dedicated to showcasing this beautiful country and its rich history. So why don't we start with some fun facts? You guys ready for this?
Yes, I'm excited. Woo-hoo.
All right, so the official name of Mexico is the United Mexican States, which I had no clue.
Neither did I. So,
mm-hmm. Kind of like the United States, they got the United Mexican States, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So how many of you guys know which one is the capital? We'll sit there and quiz everybody. What's the capital of Mexico?
Mexico City.
Tijuana.
Cancun.
Everybody trying to pick their own. Mexico City. All right, so here we go. The population is about 126 million. Ooh. And actually, you'll be surprised because they're actually pretty young. So about like 20% of the population lives near Mexico City, which is like the middle of the country, and it's the most populated. And most Mexicans live between the state of Jalisco and Veracruz. But 30% of the population actually consists of children 14 and younger, and almost 60% of it is actually between the ages of 15 and 64. So according to the statistics, they don't really have like a large percentage of older people. So that's kind of cool. All right, so Bojica, what's the language that they speak predominantly?
Español.
All right, we're going around the circle. Let's see. So Tigra, what's the currency?
El peso.
All right, so see, you see, we all know something. We all
peso.
Know something.
El pesito. So,
Mexico's actually pretty huge, and it covers like 761,600 square miles. And that's, I mean, if you look at it on the map, it takes up a chunk of the whole geographical hemisphere there.
Can so, I add something? When you're on the plane and you're about to arrive to Mexico City, it's impresionante. Because all you see is houses on top of houses. You're like, oh my God. I was so impresionada when I was about to land. I was like, wow. I was blown away just landing in Mexico City.
So is it like the color houses that you see in like these TVs and movies? Like, is it those type of houses that you see?
When you're driving, because I had to go to Mexico City and then take a bus to Querétaro. And it was like, I felt like I was in novela. I was like, oh my God. I remember when they filmed la novela Chiquillitas and all that stuff. I was just like, I was starstruck. You know me, I'm into novelas.
It comes to life.
Yeah, so I got to see that in Guadalajara. It was amazing. Like, it was, I was blown away. The food there was amazing too. Yeah,
that's crazy. I'm dying to have that experience because I haven't had it yet. Now, let's see. So they have, the Rio Grande and the Yaqui River is their big rivers. They also have a lot of resources. So, I mean, Mexico produces a ton of stuff. So you got copper, gold, lead, natural gas, petroleum, silver, timber, zinc. So, I mean, it's no wonder it's such a rich country. Mm-hmm. So, and just like everybody else, they face pretty much the same natural disasters. They got tsunamis, they got hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes. You've heard of a lot of earthquakes, you know, recently coming from South America and Central America and so forth. Yes. So it's kind of cool. Yes. So, and just, you know, obviously Mexico is rich in history, like we were saying, and they have one of the most impressive, like, artworks that you can see. So you see a lot of art, like jewelry, murals, sculptures. And just like they had in those ancient times, a lot of the newer artists used that same rich history to produce some of the artwork that you even see today. So kind of phenomenal. If you guys go and just Google it, it's pretty simple. You can just go and Google Mexican artwork. You'll see a lot of things from the Aztecs time and things of that nature. So very impressive. Very impressive.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you guys all know these answers, so we'll try to see. Some of the most popular sports. Let's go around, Robin. Who can come up with one?
Boxeo.
Right?
Soccer.
I mean, they have so many, though. But, I mean, those are the two biggest ones, I think, from what we got. I mean, they play baseball as well.
No, they're huge on bullfighting.
They got bullfighting. That's right. They do a lot of dancing, too. But from a side, And hey, they used to have an ancient game where it was like a ball game, and all the losers would end up being killed.
That's crazy.
I don't want to play that one.
I don't want to play that one either. We're gonna
I'll be one of them.
Off with your head.
Can you imagine this? You spend an entire time picking all these people on your team, and you're like, okay, guys, if we lose, we're not going to make it back. So good day. Just want to thank everybody for joining the team. And then that was it. So,
nice to
man,
have met you all.
That's great.
Seriously. Wow.
So, Bojique, you have some information on the flag. Hook us
up. Yes. El orgullo mexicano, ¿verdad? La bandera. La banguera, la manguera, la manguera, bandera was first decreed in 1821 by Agustín de Iturbide. It was first used in 1822. Isn't that something?
1822, bruh.
Wow.
La bandera mexicana is vertical tricolor. Tiene verde, blanco y rojo, green, white, and red. And the national coat of arms in the center, it was adopted in September 16th of 1968. La bandera mexicana es un simbolismo nacional. The green stripe represents la independencia mexicana, el movimiento independentista, ¿verdad?, de México. The white stripe representa la puridad, o sea, lo que es el ser puro. And the red stripe represents the independence of the blood of the national heroes that were spilled. Obviously, cool. If you have, and it's super interesting because you would think la independencia, it has to be bathed in blood. You know, men and women, right? Fighting for the freedom of Mexico. Super interesting. Awesome.
Yeah. And actually the emblem is actually what's even more interesting. So apparently if you think about the legends that I read up on, so apparently the actual emblem was kind of like the gods gave them this kind of vision to that way appoint and created whatever that city was at the time. So it's kind of like they have these mythical ancient history to it. And so the flag entirely, because if you take the emblem away, it kind of looks like Italy.
Correct.
So
it's
kind of
it's like the Puerto Rican flag and the Cuban flag. Sometimes I get a little confused, I'm not gonna lie.
They flip the colors.
Yeah, I get confused.
But we'll get into the history of that, because actually that's kind of a debate at the time. So we'll get So we'll get into that when we get into our Puerto Rican Dominican.
And to your point, Land Babbler, the mascot or the animal on that emblem is the eagle, right? Which we're familiar with, right? The bald eagle. So very interesting, very mythical animal.
All right, dig it up. Let's start with some celebrity showcase.
Well, I'm excited about the showcase today because I love this actress. She's one of my favorite novela stars, Kate del Castillo. I grew up watching her in novelas. She's been in novela de que yo tengo like 16 or 8. I mean, she's done so many novelas, like Muchachitas. I mean, she's amazing. And now she crossed over to the, you know, to the American market industry, and she was in Bad Boys for Life. I'm sure you guys seen that movie. She did really good in it.
She's so good in
she
it.
She was really
beautiful
badass.
Woman.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, she's also been in controversial news. I don't know if you guys heard about the Chapo interview. Apparently Chapo had a crush on her and Sean Penn was involved. It was a disaster. And of course she comes from a long line of very talented Mexican actor. Eric de Castillo is her dad. He's like un galán de novelas over there in Mexico. And then you have her sister. She's a journalist. Her name is Verónica del Castro. She's been in Despierta América. She's been in Primer Impacto. She's awesome. So I really like him. And the whole family is very talented. But Que de Castillo stands out the most. No offense, the Castillo family, but I'm a big fan of Que de Castillo. And then I have Daniel Saldana París. He was born in Mexico City. He's a poet, essayist, and novelista, importante in Mexico contemporary literature. He is 2013 final for the Best Translator Book Award among Strange Victims. He's also done in 2018 El Nervio Principal, The Principal Nerve novel, fought his admiration and praise in Mexico. So he's really big there, and also he's done poetry, which is called Mexico 20 New Voice Traditions. So you guys need to look it up. If you guys want to look up more authors in Mexico, just Google 11 most read authors now in Mexico and it'll come up a bunch of them. There's so many authors in Mexico. There's a lot of talented people.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt? Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Now, they had a website, right? I was thinking things like Book Riot, bookriot.com.
Yeah, you go like to, you can just Google it because it's easier that way. 11 Mexican authors to read now. Y te salen todos los autores de México. Like the
awesome.
To read now, the most popular ones right now.
Guys, so don't miss out. Guys, look, we went through some facts. We're going through some entertainment information here today. Some celebrity showcase. You never know when you're going to need it to win prizes. So if you're not writing this stuff down, I'm just letting you know, you might just be missing out. So you got to reach us on Instagram because we'll be putting a lot of this information out there. And we may just ask a question or two. And with that, we're going into Something Latino. What's up?
Yeah, so this week on Something Latino, right, we have Mexican National Heroes and the Holidays. So the national for the National Heroes, I would like to pick three former presidents, right, which I would say were the three first presidents, Guadalupe Victoria, Vicente Guerrero, and there's a, you know, kind of like a controversy or such, right? They say he was the first, like, black president in Mexico, but it, you know, it's believed that he was either of color, could have been indigenous, but of color, right? And Jose Maria Bocanegra. And then for the Mexican holidays, of course, independence, the Mexican Revolution, and La Constitución Mexicana. And to give you some kind of dates and a backdrop, right? So Independence Day was obtained September 16th of 1810 and is celebrated on every September 16th, right? The Mexican Revolution was a major revolution that included a sequence of armed struggles that lasted roughly 10 years. Okay, and it transformed the Mexican culture and the government.
I can imagine that.
Right? But and to think, right, Mexican culture and the actual government, you know, it would be interesting to one day kind of just touch on, like, what was it like pre and after, right? But La Constitución Mexicana was approved by its constituents on February the 5th, 1917. And formally, the political constitution of the United Mexican States, and is the current constitution of Mexico. Okay, and something really, really interesting, and I did not know this, which is what's awesome about what we're going to be doing, right, about, you know, being around the world and learning about these Latin American countries, is the history that we learn. So for the Mexicans, such badasses, that their struggle for freedom sparked change to the common people in other places. So the Constitution of 1917 is the first such document in the world that set out social rights.
I heard about that, yeah.
Right? Isn't that something, like,
that's
serving
cool.
as a model?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was floored. Literally, I was floored because to think it was the model for the Weimar Constitution of 1919 and the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic Constitution of 1918. So awesome that to think, I think it's sometimes dismissed, right? The you know, Mexico and the Mexican people, you know, they're kind of everywhere, and you think of them and you see them, you know, working in a lot of different areas, at least here in the United States, and people do not give them their due. But to think something like that, that their constitution sparked, right, the constitutions of places like Russia, I mean, that is awesome. And that is Something Latino for this week, Wei.
Let's not bypass some of the fun ones like Cinco de Mayo in 1862, which celebrates the victory of Mexico over France in the Battle of Puebla. Ay, ay, ay.
Okay, so what do you be doing on Cinco de Mayo? Go ahead, because she's our social person. So what do you be doing?
Cinco de Mayo, huh? Pa arriba y pa abajo, pa el centro, pa adentro, tequila.
For real. And you know that it's amazing that a lot of people think that Cinco de Mayo is their actual independence. you know, their Independence Day. They don't know that it was, you know, the battle over France, right? Pero se creen que la independencia.
That's because we make a big deal about it.
Correct.
Everybody goes out drinking and all kinds of stuff. It's almost like St. Patrick's Day.
I have to add, when I went to Mexico, I went through Labor Day and everything was closed. It took like the whole week off. We don't do that here, yo. We need to like start implementing these laws here.
Hey, they be doing siestas too, I think. Don't they?
Yes. Seriously. Estaba todo cerrado. Todo estaba cerrado. Like, what is this?
Yes.
I mean, technically speaking, we did it here in America too. We just called it COVID. So,
yeah, but we're like how many thousands of years late?
That was a forced holiday.
That's crazy. All right, so I got the last one, I think, because it's probably the most popular one. You see it in cartoons. You see it everywhere. So El Día de los Muertos, which is November 2nd, and it's a two-day holiday for those who don't know, and it reunites the living and the dead. And so if you don't already know, families like create these offerings, unas ofrendas, to hold honor for their departed family members that have already passed away. So they decorate the altars, and they use like these bright yellow marigold flowers, and they put a photo of the person that passed away or the person that's departed, and they add that person's like favorite food and drinks to kind of, you know, honor them. And it's kind of a rare holiday because it's almost like you're celebrating life, but at the same time, you're celebrating death.
Mm-hmm. I love that, though. It's like the movie Coco.
I have to add something. That's my second birthday. I got hit by a car November 2nd. Day of the Dead.
Hey, yo, what?
Yes, it was a miracle. I was in ICU for a week. Almost had brain surgery.
How you got hit? Okay, so you're saying it's your second birthday.
Seventh.
Because you got hit by a car.
On November the 2nd, literally.
And on that day, you were born again.
Exactly.
Wow. You just gave me goosebumps.
Yes, girl.
That's crazy.
Yes,
oh, my goodness. We're going to have to talk about that off air and see what you saw when you got hit after that car. So.
Yeah. I thought you guys knew about it. I had mentioned it a long, long time ago.
No, but I had created an altar like with your picture on it, but you never came. So,
well,
I don't
know.
Well, maybe that altars what's helped.
I just know. I didn't give the right food. So,
no, you didn't bring me cupcakes. Sorry.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, McDonald's.
Cupcakes.
Flores.
All right, Ms. Rocky. Hook us up with this week's artist spotlight.
All right, guys. So, our artist spotlight is, of course, from Mexico. The band's name is La Original Banda El Limón del Salvador. Lisa Larga, and it's from Mazatlan, Sinaloa. In 2012, they were nominated for Banda of the Year and were Latin Grammy winners for their song El Mejor Perfume in 2013. They also won Best Regional Artist and Best Album of the Year in Premio Texas. They have been featured in El Gordo y la Flaca and have played in various cities in the U.S. Here is their single, El Presente es lo que cuenta. Here on the Latin Babbler Show, Mexico.
Lo que puedas hacer hoy, no lo dejes pa' mañana. Hay que vivir el momento, disfrutar al 100% porque la vida se acaba. De este mundo no te llevas nada más que lo vivido. De la muerte no te esperas, en eso no hay vuelta de hoja, la tumba es nuestro destino. Yo por eso pistearé 7 días a la semana y me pondré una loquera cada que me dé la gana. Lo que me resta de vida así me la pasaré, cumpliré todos mis gustos, voy a vivir como rey. Es nuestro destino. Yo por eso pistearé 7 días a la semana.
That's crazy. I really like that, man. That's
really
insane.
Really nice. Really nice. Their beat, like, you know, it's like traditional, but almost feels like untraditional, like with the tones and the way they come out. Really awesome.
And he's young. The singer's young and hot.
You always think they're hot.
For real?
We don't have the guy on the show. Like, man, I'm
telling you. That's okay. It's fine.
Well, they have, it's actually like three of them, I think. And what they've done is they rotated. The band's been around forever. And I think it was 92, I think the band's been around. And so they kind of rotate the singers. But I mean, between, you know, and a funny story, just so you know, when I reached out to the singer to try and get the music to be a part of our show, I had no clue who I was reaching out to. And it wasn't until I reached out to Tigera and I said, hey, look, the band finally agreed. And here's the name. And she turned around. She's like, wait, do you not know who they are? And I'm like, I have no clue. And she's like,
because I watched novelas and they put the commercials of the bands and Banda Recodo, Banda Limon, you know, all bandas.
Yeah, I look it up and there they are. Gordia Flaca, they're on all kinds of morning shows and all kinds. They're touring the U.S. right now, so it's amazing.
I'm not in celebrity for nothing, you know what I'm saying? This is what I do, my friend. This is what I do.
So, Ms. Rocky, where do they follow these people?
So, they can be found on Instagram at OBLSL. On YouTube and on all social media platforms by searching La Banda Original El Limón.
Right? And there we go. So we're going to be showcasing them. So again, pay attention to our Instagram because there might just be a prize.
Get into it.
If you interact with that. I'm trying to tell you. Y'all not listening. There might just be a prize.
Man, and they sound
good. I'm joining that contest. I want to be in the next video.
So, and you guys, all of our contests are going to be in two different places. There's going to be one on Instagram and there's going to be one on the Facebook group. So make sure that you join both. Make sure that you follow both. Go on Facebook, go to Latin Babbler Show and look up our Facebook group, not the page, the group. And go on Instagram and look up at Latin Babbler Show and pay attention to the posts that go up. Our social media team is amazing and they're going to be putting up some content that you're going to be able to turn around and use to win some prizes. All right. So let's get to my favorite part of the whole thing. Food. Me gusta comer. So let's talk about the stuff that is most important to me. So Mexico has a lot of dishes. A lot.
Yes.
And we're going to apologize ahead of time because if for whatever reason we can't pronounce it right, you guys can help us. Get on social media and tell us, hey, Pablo, you messed this up big time and send me a recording. I would love to hear it if I messed up and you can send it to me. So the very first one is chilaquiles. I'm assuming I said that right because if it went smooth right off the tongue.
Chilaquiles.
You did say it right. I've heard it say in novelas.
All right, so there we go. So this is like a popular traditional breakfast dish and it's like lightly fried tortillas. They're cut into quarters and they're topped with like green and red salsa. And the red salsa technically is like spicier as everything is. But it's like, you know, scrambled with fried eggs and they pull chicken. And usually they add it on top and as well as cream cheese. So if you're in Mexico, chilaquiles are often served with like a healthy dose of like frijoles, which is like fried beans. So it's kind of cool.
Habichuelas.
All right. Second one. Pozole. So, according to the anthropologist, this prehistoric soup was once used as part of a ritual for sacrifices. And I don't know if I want to eat it now. Because of that.
Yummy, yummy.
All right, so next is pozole. And according to anthropologists, this prehistoric...
It's prehistoric. Prehistoric.
I know you said that earlier.
It's prehistoric. Listen, we're going back into the time of the dinosaur.
It probably is.
This pre-Hispanic soup was once used as part of ritual sacrifices, which is automatically probably a turnoff for me because I do not feel like turning around and dealing with that. So it's made from like hominy corn and it's got like plenty of herbs and spices and it's stewed for like hours, often overnight. So once it's ready to serve, you get like lettuce, radish, onion, limes, and like chilies. They're all sprinkled on top.
It's like a beef stew or it's like a pot roast or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I mean, it's, I'm assuming it's amazing. But if somebody wants to go on our Facebook group and send us a picture of it, by all means, you guys can cook it, send us a picture of it, and you never know, might get a prize out of it.
Ay, que rico. We should do a Latin babbler recipe book. Oof. After we're done. After we're done with all the countries.
I know. No. Better yet, what we'll do is we'll turn around and we'll have a Latin babbler guest book. So that means that all the people who like subscribe to us can send us like their recipes and stuff. And then we might be able to just record them and showcase us making it. And we'll compare them.
Hey, that's good.
Me gusta.
Not a bad idea. A little babbler challenge there. I challenge you to making your food better.
I'm just getting hungry like right
now. I had taquitos the other day from a place not too far from here in Juanita. And it's like a little placita and it's like a food truck. But I mean, you ask anybody around here and they have the best taquitos. And oh my God.
I'm hungry.
Well, I'm in California, so the funny part is, look, we're not even, we've only done like two of these, which is ironic that you were talking about tacos, because the third one is tacos al pastor.
Ooh.
And so, and it's and you've been here, so you know. So the historic dish is one of the most popular varieties of the tacos and originated dating back to like the 1920s and 30s. It actually arrived like Lebanese and Syrian immigrants to Mexico. To create tacos al pastor, meaning in the style of the shepherd, you have to take like thin strips of pork and they're sliced off of spit and then placed on corn tortillas and then served with onions, coriander leaves, and pineapple. And it is amazing. I know my daughter doesn't like it, my youngest daughter, but sounds I know amazing. My other two, they absolutely love it because it has like that sweet taste to it. You can actually taste the like, like a Caribbean feel to it. It is so good. Hold on a second.
I'm a big enchilada. I'm an enchilada person.
And I see here that it says thin strips of pork, right?
Yeah.
Sliced
off a
with
spit.
Spit.
Sliced off a spit, man.
Stop.
I just threw
nasty.
It out there.
No, man. They don't slice it off with a spit. No, they slice it off. It's funny.
But let me ask you a question. When you go eat tacos over there, do you go to like the little restaurants, the little like little family-owned restaurant? Because I went to a lot of them, and they used to have the beef stew.
I think that's the pozole.
Sancocho allá, that's delicious. Mm.
You're talking about in L.A.?
In L.A., yo me metí en muchos lugares chiquitos.
Yeah, we go to the
trucks.
Nah, bro, we go to the trucks.
There.
We go to the trucks.
Remember,
the trucks
there were no trucks
the
back then when I went to California, but yo me metí in a little hole in the walls. They were good. I gained 20 pounds.
Oh, man.
There. Yeah.
That's crazy. I know that here they got taco trucks everywhere. You can't go. I mean, I live in Agoura Hills. You can go to Thousand Oaks and get a
No, but when I was in California, the trucks didn't exist yet.
That's what I was
going to
say.
That's
a recent phenomenon, the food trucks out here.
Food trucks just came out like maybe a few years ago.
Uh-huh. It's so good. All right, let's move on because if not, we'll be here talking about just tacos al pastor for like an hour.
Yeah.
All right, so tostadas. Mm. So let's see. I'm going to say that you fry them. Mm-hmm. You obviously have to fry them. Literally, it means toasted. That's why it's called a tostadas. Mm-hmm. So it's a very simple, delicious dish involving like corn tortillas. They're fried and then they're like boiling in oil until they become like crunchy and golden.
Yummy.
And like they're served either alone or you can like pile them high with any different types of garnishes. But I think one of the most popular toppings is like frijoles again, which is the fried beans. And they put cheese, cooked meat. A lot of them put seafood, so you'll see it with a lot of crab and then ceviche. So, again.
Okay, I'm hungry again.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get a towel for this mic. It's unbelievable.
For the slobber.
All right. For the slobber. I'm like, nom, nom, nom. All right. So, chiles en nogada. And so this one kind of looks like the Mexican flag that you were talking about, Bojique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the most patriotic dishes. And the main reason for it is all the different colors are involved on there. So, you know, they've got poblano chiles, which is, it's got the picadillo and it's got a mixture of like chopped meat, fruits and spices. They got walnut based cream sauce and like pomegranate seeds. So you see where they get like their white and their green and their red all of in there. It's really good stuff. So this one kind of hits home because we kind of have this in the Dominican Republic. So elote.
Yes.
And this is like their corn on the cob. So it's sold by almost every street vendor, right? So from my understanding, you can't go anywhere in Mexico where a street vendor isn't selling this. And so the corn is like traditionally boiled, and then it's served like either on a stick or on a cup. They'll take out the kernels off the cob and put it in a cup. And then they put salt and like chili powder, lime, butter, cheese, and mayonnaise and sour cream. All right, so that's so good. That's so good. All right, and who mentioned enchiladas?
Me, I love enchiladas.
I know she loves them because when I went to Miami and we went to that restaurant,
oh,
I think that's
salsa
right?
Fiesta.
Yeah, but they're not authentic
from my house.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yo, that's what she ordered too. She was like,
"Yeah, yeah."
Hey,
yeah, so they're not.
It's
really...
Tex-Mex.
Oh my
You know.
I guess I know. You got to go to Homestead.
But, I mean, what are you gonna expect in Miami? So I mean,
no, but salsa fiesta is very like healthy and it's all like. Very natural, like como, how you say fresh ingredients. Mm. Like when you eat it,
like cooked to order, really.
Yeah,
cooked to order,
it's
fresh.
It's good. It's delicious. Latin Babbler was messing it up. Mm-hmm.
I tore it up. Yeah, I tore it up, good. And it actually, you know, our producer Bree, she hates them, so we're gonna turn around and just send like a whole bunch of them to her.
Yes, for her birthday.
So enchiladas actually date back to Mayan times. That's how far back, and it actually was created. So like. The Valley of Mexico would eat corn tortillas wrapped around like small fish back in the day. So, and these were done both in corn and flour tortillas, and they are used like with filled meat, cheese, seafood, beans, vegetables, pretty much all of the above. And they are covered with like chili sauce. So it's like the perfect Mexican breakfast. Mm. Just so good. Just so good. Mm. All right. So good. Let's see. Mole.
Mole is delicious too. What?
I'm telling you, we're not going to get through this episode. Like, we still have the cities to go through, and like, all this food is just going to make us stop. So, mole is like the rich sauce that is included in a lot of the Mexican cooking. And there's like a million types of mole, but they all pretty much contain the same amount of ingredients. Some have more varieties, like with chili peppers and so forth. But you have to stir it for like a really long period of time. And I'm actually going to try and see if I can make that.
Wow.
During this week, as we did this episode, to try and see if we can post it up there and see if somebody will call me out on whether I did it right or wrong.
Yes, you got to do
But I know that what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like the best known one, which is called like mole poblano. And that's where like the red sauce is like typically served over turkey or like chicken. So I'm going to try that.
Yummy.
And I can't send you guys anything because I'm all the way on the West Coast.
Yes, so, you can. You can do FedEx overnight, yo.
Oh, hey, you know what? I'll try.
Next day air.
Now, this one you can pick up pretty much at any store. Or next day air.
So hey, I have people that have done it. They've sent their kids to college food and it goes to the next day.
Mole is red sauce. Dang. And by the time it gets to you, it's going to be green. So you know it's not going to be any good.
No, with this pandemic, I doubt it. No, it won't happen.
Yeah. So guacamole. So now... Now we have another one. So pretty much everybody knows guac.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you haven't eaten guac, at least even with some chips and stuff like that, you're not living. So, and it's obviously part of Mexican, you know, it's one of Mexico's most popular sauces and dishes that we can put out there. You know, it's a traditional sauce. It dates back all the way from the Aztec.
Mm-hmm.
It's made up of mashed up avocados, onions, tomatoes. I don't even know why I'm describing this. Everybody, for the most part, already knows it.
You put it on everything.
But I'm going to do it just so Miss Rocky can turn around and, you know, she gets all like messed up from this. So lemon juice, chili peppers, Miss Rocky.
Yummy.
Garlic.
yummy.
It's going into another level.
Right? Oh my God. You're not kidding.
We just created like a 1-900 number for her.
1-900 for guacamole.
I'm going to create an OnlyFans eating guacamole and see how many people I get.
1-900 guac. All right.
Hey,
people are getting rich off of feet pictures.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
you so, put it on your.
So now, how does that go with guac?
Not even.
Though?
You just start eating it.
Walking street.
Eating the guac.
I don't even want to know.
That goes back to that other episode.
Gavin sucking toes.
I don't want to even think about it.
Tamalito.
All right, let's go with the last one. Here we go. Tamales. All right. Tamales. All right. They were developed back again for the Aztecs. I mean, some of these foods, they go back in like ancient times.
Almost
like
prehistoric.
So almost prehistoric.
But you know what? So, you left one out, man. What happened to the burritos, yo? Those are popular.
Ooh, that's true.
Child.
They didn't make my top 10, though.
Ooh, I don't know.
I love the steak.
Ooh, guacamole.
But is that, okay, so is burrito more Tex-Mex?
Con the steak.
Nah. You know what? I'm going to ask the crowd. So when you guys listen to these, I want to know, is burrito, does that fall under Tex-Mex or does it fall under authentic? Because when I picked my top 10, I was finding like authentic. Oh, like dishes.
I've had authentic dishes like in Broward and
burrito,
Palm Beach.
Right.
What?
But is the burrito part of
it? They were burritos. They were like almost like the size of a ruler, like with steak and rice. And I was like,
It was a little baby.
Stop it. Memories. It was a
because when I think of burritos, I think of Chipotle and stuff like that. So that's more Tex-Mex.
I'm talking about burrito, like all wrapped up in there with that red sauce and all that. Mm.
Oh well, yeah, that's drenched with it. But I mean, the size of it. Have you seen the Chipotle burritos? Those things look like little babies.
Oh yeah. No. The one in Salsa Fiesta are pretty big, girl. Ooh, child.
Yeah, but I
take
know.
You there. Ooh.
Well, that'll be good.
All right, let me finish these tamales,
audience.
Man. I'm over here trying to give some history, and y'all sitting there went off on burrito talk.
We're talking about Mexico history. The burritos are
well,
good.
You may be talking about Tex-Mex. We won't know. We're going to have to get them to turn around and give us the information. Ooh, so here we go. So Aztec, Mayans, and Inca tribes all ate them, and they did them before they went into battle. So very resourceful food, and basically it's pockets of corn dough, and they're filled with like sweet, savory filling, and then you wrap it in banana leaves or corn husks, and then you steam them. So, hey,
that's
just
delicious
don't eat the leaf.
With chicken inside, child.
Those of you who are doing it, don't eat the leaf, man. Just stay away from the leaf. It's not supposed to be a part of the meal, man. So, look, and we just found out. So, it is a Tex-Mex dish. See, that's the reason I didn't bring up the burritos. It's a Tex-Mex dish, and it came across in the United States. So, there you go.
Well,
there
they got. Go. I've eaten in Mexico, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, that may be a different type.
Oh,
though.
You know what else they have in Mexico is really good? I'm sorry, I have to add this. Una sopa de camarones that they make there. Oh my God.
But I feel like unless you give the actual name, it doesn't work.
It's a shrimp soup. It's a shrimp soup in Querétaro. It was amazing. And then I tried the hot sauce, I almost lost my tongue. I'm serious, yo. They told me don't do it. I'm gonna do it because I like spicy. I almost lost my tongue.
You had mentioned one place. I'm gonna try. Let's try and see if we can get through the. Let's see some of the best places to visit in Mexico. Now, mind you, guys, when we're talking about these different places, please, we are not travel agents. So, if you're going to travel to these locations, please do it safely. Please make sure that you have done your homework, that you have done your due diligence. So that way you know what are the best and safest places that you can stay there with you and your family.
Always travel,
so
travel
again,
like I did.
Right.
Yes. You know, always try to travel in groups. Yep. All right. So let's explore some of the best places to visit in Mexico. So obviously, Mexico City, since we were talking about the capital, and it's pretty much the beating urban heart of Central America. Almost like Rome. For Central America.
It's really nice.
So, La Capital de Mexico. It's everything. It's got high sky rises, historical buildings, centers, and you get all kinds of things like, the third largest square in the world, which like it spreads out close to the site of the Templo Mayor, which goes all the way on, the ancient Aztecs.
Nice.
And the sun splash stones of Madero Street. So if you're going to visit Mexico City, you get a little bit of everything, and you get the modern, and you get the ancient. So it's kind of cool. So second on the list, San Miguel de Allende. And this is more like a colonial era city. So, for those people who are all, the colonizers. Well, it's a beautiful city regardless.
Correct. So,
exactly. Mexico's Central Highlands is known for its like Baroque Spanish architecture. And remember, if it's not Baroque, don't fix
like
it.
That.
No, but...
You killed
my Disney. That's my Disney joke.
That was good.
Thriving art scenes, cultural festivals. They got a lot of festivals there.
I love
that. And the
that.
City itself is historic. They got like cobblestone centers.
Yes.
Neo-Gothic churches. La Parroquia de San Miguel, Archangel, is one of those dramatic pink towers rise that above like main plaza, El Jardín. Mm. So it's a very beautiful place to go visit.
Drive.
You guys are close. You guys can drive there, man.
To Mexico City? Well...
What, from you California, you can drive to Mexico.
You can. Yeah. I mean, it's a 2-hour drive from here to kind of like, or like 2.5 to get to, I believe it's what?
Tijuana.
What's right at the edge?
Yeah.
So Tijuana.
I can't remember what the town, Tijuana, that's what it is. And then from there, you got to kind of go from, so, you know.
You can drive.
I want to go to Baja.
It is a good drive, but I'd rather fly, though. I'd rather fly and just kind of...
It's funny. He's like, it's a good drive, but you drove all the way from Jersey all the way to California. It's the same shoot,
yeah, but I had to do that because, you know, a change of living. Yeah. But I don't want to take my car all the way to Mexico.
Exactly.
I'd rather fly there and then experience, you know, the land the way it is. All right. Mm-hmm. Puerto Vallarta, seen by many as, like, the veritable jewel of the Pacific Coast. And it draws settlers or setters. Sunbathers, like fashionistas, yes. Pretty much anybody who's all bougie, they go to Puerto Vallarta because of like their amazing beaches. They got golf resorts there and they have like some of the most amazing palaces. So they got like Mayan Palace, they got like fine art galleries, and you can sometimes go into like the old town heart of El Centro.
If you guys remember back in the Love Boat days, they always went to Puerto Vallarta. Always. I don't know why, but okay.
Right?
Now we
there
do.
You go. It was a always, yeah. Always. Or two,
mm-hmm. And now they go to Cozumel in the boats. They go to Cozumel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
now that's big. Like all of the, all, and we're going to talk about it because all of the cruises, that's where they stop now because it's like a small little island. It's perfect. All right. So the next place is where everybody, you know, had the luxury of doing this. Cancun.
Cancun's very small. I landed there like to go. I had to stop there and then go to Mexico. It's very small. It's not like big. It's like the beach.
It's like a party city, though. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's almost like a New York version of, because the city never sleeps. So it's
like
where
South
you go
Beach.
Where like you're doing spring break. You get those warm Caribbean waters and things like that.
Yeah, South Beach.
Right.
Yeah. It's like South Beach.
Not on steroids, like South Beach here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the cool thing is they're like right by those tropical jungles of like Mesoamerica. So it's kind of really cool. It's kind of real. All right. This is one of my favorite because it's on a bucket list. You know, I like going to the Coliseum and things like that. So Chichen Itza is where they have a lot of the ruins. So they have like the colossal megalith structures and a lot of it was part of the great Mayan civilization. So those of you who are like history buffs and, you know, want to see ancient history and want to see a lot of that stuff, check out those pyramid temples, you know. They are amazing. You got El Caracol. You got the haunting of Cenote of Sacrifice. And for those of you guys don't know, the Cenote of Sacrifice, it's like a water-filled sinkhole where they had limestone. This is where like they sacrificed people.
Yeah.
So
wonderful.
You know, do it.
Yeah, no, you gotta go visit. Gotta go visit. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm thinking of all the spirits that are hanging out in that hole.
You go there on November 2nd.
Take a friend you don't like and use it. So they
oh yeah, sure, Bob.
Just, you know, take an enemy of yours and go be like, you know what, one of the places we're gonna visit is a cenote of sacrifice. They're gonna be like, oh, that's amazing. And I'm like, yeah, just now lend, you know, just bend over a little bit and I'm going to take care of it from here. All right, so I couldn't
that's
get through
mean.
That one.
I was like,
that was good.
Yeah,
that's good. Take an enemy. All right. Valladolid is a great great place to visit. It's got great rich history, a lot of cafes, and just plain beautiful. You want to relax. So there's not really much to say about it because it's really one of those towns where you go to just kind of chill and, you know, be able to just speak with the people, enjoy. They have different cafes, a lot of center walks, great housing, like the houses of colorful and things like that. So good place to go. Tulum.
Tulum.
Tulum is basically like the more beautiful version of Chichen Itza. So... like pretty much everybody who goes to like watch these like Mayan sites and so forth, they go to Tulum because of the fact that you go to Chichen Itza for a lot of the pyramids and things like that. And then you go to Tulum because it has amazing beaches and you get the pyramids. So, you know, a lot of beach bums, surfers, they all go to that because they got like a lot of great hotels. So, you know, it's kind of like a sandal.
So Chichen Itza is the evil sister.
I guess, man, the ugly sister.
That's where you have the hole, the sinkhole.
Like. So. But, you know, one of those Chichen Itza's probably sitting there going, yeah, but I keep it real. So, you know, when you hit, and then Tulum's like, yeah, but I look good. So there you go.
Hey.
All right. Santiago de Querétaro.
Querétaro.
This one is Querétaro. That's right. You corrected me the last one. So Santiago de Querétaro. This is probably one of the safest places that you can probably go to.
Yeah, it's high end. It's very high end. Montañas. Right? Muchas montañas.
But you've been there, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of... montañas. There's big mansions on the montañas. It's really pretty there.
What was your experience there like, though?
I loved it there. That's where I almost lost my tongue, eating the shrimp soup.
Oh, okay.
That was like, oh. But it's really nice is they have malls and they have like, it looks a little bit more Americanized, but it's more like high end. Like, it's like more upper middle class.
Like, well, that was like where they have like the Spanish vice royalty house. Like, supposedly it's there.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very like, you know, high end, very pretty.
I'd go there for like the historical stuff. So for me, like the legendary theater of the Republic is probably a must.
And it gets really cold at night. It gets really, really cold over there. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, but that's good because how hot is it during the day?
It's hot. But at night, I was like, what the? You know what I was going to say? What the?
It was like California. Yeah. It was perfect. Yeah, that works for me.
Hey, especially right. on Hell the tequila yeah. shots and that hot sauce. You want a cold?
No, I lost my tongue, yo. I left this my tongue cool. in the restaurant. Like, here, you can have it.
Put You're that like, up there with the dollar bills.
Take it out. You left your tongue here. Here you go.
Yeah, they sent it to me by mail.
It's like your purse. It's like, what? Did I leave my purse? Nothing? No, señor, that's your tongue.
Dejaste tu lengua.
Sopa de lengua. Dejaste
la lengua en la mesa.
Dejaste la lengua en la mesa, tigera. Es sopa de camarón. No, it was your lengua, señora. Here you go. Take it
They All frozen. Right.
Osaka City, which is just beautiful. Like, it sits on, like, the southwest of Mexico. And my Osaka. Favorite, one of the reasons I moved to California is because it's surrounded by mountains. All of the cities, you can see mountains to the left, to the right. And Osaka has the same feel. So they got mountains everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of colorful buildings. So if you look a lot of, like, when you go Google Mexico, all of those houses that you see that are all colorful. Mm. And a lot of them come from this city.
From that side.
Yeah, because they kind of have this culture. They have amazing markets, and like the fruit is like fresh. All the vegetables are fresh. So it's amazing. They got like the petrified waterfalls, and a lot of the Zapotec temples and ruins are from there. So for those of you who drink, tequila. It's famous for their smoky tequila.
You know what? I'm going to create a tequila and call it absolutely.
Tequila con limón.
That's it.
Hey. Yo, that's right there. Label it. We get 10%.
Yeah, you could do absolutely. Right. That's yeah, because right? it's absolute vodka. Yeah, you could compete.
Yep. Absolute vodka.
And this we won't get the 10%. Be absolute. Yo, this is that much better. Because right. it's absolutely.
There you go. We'll put
absolutely
we'll
good.
Have a logo on the bottom right so we can turn around and. All right. So we mentioned this before, but consumel. So this is where everybody's pretty much going when they go on these cruises. And the main reason for it is because it's like a little small island. Now, the island itself is not really developed. So they haven't really worked hard on trying to make it very appeasing as far as for like tourists. But the waters are absolutely beautiful. So a lot of people go there for like scuba diving. And there's a lot of submerged sculptures in the areas that they can go view. So definitely a must go. Now, I know that my daughter wasn't a big fan of it because the tour guide or the amount of time that they got to spend in Cozumel wasn't really that great. So you don't really get to see much if you're kind of going off and on as opposed to going there for a couple of days. But if you're going scuba diving and things of that
That's
nature and you're
place,
trying to get like a tropical feel, great place to visit. All right.
Ooh.
So Guadalajara. And this is in like the western part of Mexico. And it's known, and this is actually kind of really cool. So it's known for all the things that everybody on this show really loves. Tequila, mariachi music, and its amazing culture. So it hosts like large-scale events, such as like the Guadalajara International Film Festival, which is like globally renowned cultural events, and it draws like international crowds. So definitely a must-go, especially if you love to, you know, dance and drink. And just have an amazing time.
It's also very colonial, too. And they have, like, the church and stuff like that and the little houses. It's cute. It's very cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Very
beautiful.
Much so. All right. Cabo San Lucas.
San
and
Lucas.
I don't know why I said it in such an American way. Cabo San Lucas. I was at Cabo San
Cabo.
Lucas.
It's Cabo.
It's Cabo. All right. And maybe the reason I'll say this is because most of the people who go there,
Are
it's a resort town.
Rich.
Yeah, so most of the people who go there, for the most part, talk all like, and they have great beaches there. You got a lot of celebrities, and, you know, a lot of people also go there for spring break, so it's kind of cool. A lot of outdoor restaurants, which is kind of cool, and, you know, if a lot of outdoor restaurants without COVID, so that means that they were intentionally doing that. And, you know, if you want to take a great scenery picture, this is pretty much the place to go. All right, so these are all... Yeah. I want to go there, too. I want to go there, too, but I want to be able to sell my left kidney before I get there. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you have visited any of these beautiful cities, we're going to share this on Instagram, and we're going to share it on Facebook group. Let us know about your experience going there. We would love to turn around and get more information as to what are these cities. If we missed a city, let us know as well. So that way we can add it to them and give them a shout out. Now, I'm being told I might be canceled for my rich comment. Well, so be
golly.
It. I'm going with it anyways.
Everybody getting canceled. Everybody,
you know, rich comment should have been like this. Did you have some tequila?
So, yeah, right. But these are the beautiful cities. Now, look, we're Dominicans, we're Puerto Ricans, we're Colombians on this show. And one of the things that we definitely have in our country is we use a lot of slang terms. And so Mexico is not short of any of these slang terms. So we're going to go through them. We're going to try our best to pronounce them. If we can't pronounce them, look, there's a contest coming. Some of you guys can send audio of your best version of this. Facts. And we will post it up and give you credit for it and maybe send you something. All right. So now that we're going to go through these, let's see. So, Bojica, why don't you start us off?
Orale, which is Mexican Chicano word that not only means hell yeah or right on, but has lots and lots of meanings. Orale.
Then a second.
Que onda way. Que onda means like saying what's up in a cool way. Like what you doing? How you doing? Yeah. Like what a way. What's up? What's happening? How you doing?
Que onda. And way is like that's bro que or onda. Dude.
And way is mm-hmm. like bro, like saying what's up, dude. What's up, bro? And then you have buena onda. It's like, it means cool, like vibe, like, yo, that's hot. Fire. Like how we say that's hot, that's some cool, mm-hmm. that's fire.
That's hot. Que onda, way.
That's fire, way.
That's fire, way.
Yeah. We're adding Spanglish to it. That's fire, way.
That's fire.
I'm going to do the next one. Let's see. We got canal, which is like Mexican slang for friend. And you know what? I'm in Los Angeles, and I hear it all the time.
I'm sure.
So, and then you mix it up with like the first one. So it's orale canal, and you're like, okay, so now they're just like putting compound words together of like really cool phrases. So it's like somebody calling you like brother. The word looks awful. Like, you know, it looks awful. And because, I mean, in English, it means, your carnal means like meat or flesh. So, and that's because for the most part, it is. They both come from like the Latin word carne, which is meat. But it also can mean like, you know, the same blood, family relative. Canad gives you like the impression that you're, you know, your friend is like your family to you. So it's kind of cool.
No mames, wey.
Rocky one.
Que onda, wey. So basically, no mames literally means don't suck. But it actually means stop pulling my leg, homie. Stop messing with me, yo. But in a friendly way. You know what I'm saying? So just smile, be nice about it. But yeah, it's basically like the more PG-rated cousin, no manches, which is used in similar context, but with more of the element of a surprise. But I like that. No mames, way. Orale, carnal.
Say carnal,
Rocky.
Say carnal.
So, hey, look, we're just trying to have fun with it. So, you know, you guys are listening in, fix us. If there's something that we're doing wrong here, by all means, fix us. So let's see, chamba. Chamba means like work or job. So for Latinos, it's different for us because we have like work, and then we have most of our like different jobs are like negocios. And so if we're entrepreneurs, we have different negocios. But chamba means a lot of work. So I've actually spoken to people where they go, oh, no, yo tengo muchas chambas. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And it's literally he has a lot of job or a lot of work. So kind of an interesting thing. All right. So, Bojica, you get the last one.
La chingada. A place really, really far away. The boondocks.
It's true. I've heard them. They're all like, oye, se está por la chingada por allá. And you're like, okay, well, I was wondering what he was talking. There you go. He's basically saying this dude is so far away.
Way out there.
So that is our top slang words or top slang phrases that we were able to find. If you have any other ones, by all means, again, send it to us and we will showcase them either on Instagram or in our Facebook group. Now, think of that. You ran into a word that kind of gave you a little gaff, right? Why don't you tell us a story about that?
A long time ago, I was working in a title company, and I had a Mexican gentleman come in, and I told him, coge la silla. And he looked at me, and I was like, and then my boss looked at me and goes, no, no. I'm like, what did I say? He goes, that means F-U-C-K. I was like, oh, my God. So after that, I always say, tome asiento, tome la silla, tome, tome asiento. You can't say that because it means, you know, fudge. And after
what
that,
was your expression?
My I just paused and the guy just looked at me and I was just like, I don't know what to say.
That is crazy.
I gave him an
extra. So be careful what you say, people.
Okay.
I was like, perdón, señor, perdón. No quise faltarle respeto. I was 19 years old. What am I supposed to know, yo?
Hey, she was learning. She was learning. All right. So whether it's fun, beauty, food, culture, history, and entertainment, we just went through Mexico. And it is a great destination to grab them all in one place. So that is our first stop on our Latin world tour, ladies and gentlemen, in the beautiful country of Mexico. Woo-hoo! Don't forget to listen every Wednesday on our neighborhood radio on radio89.com and on all podcast networks, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. Follow us on all social media at Latin Babbler, especially on Instagram. We're doing some amazing things there. So visit our website, www.latinbabbler.com. And don't forget, again, to join our Facebook community by just searching The Latin Babbler Show. So again, join us next week as we tour Bolivia.
¡Órale!
¡Que viva México! ¡Que viva México!
¡La raza!
Mexican people, we love you, man. I'm the Latin Babbler, and we are out. Woo!